First of all, it's a warm welcome to Andy Medic from the Animal Justice Party, who is, of course, their member for Western Victoria region. Andy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Mitch. How are you?
Yes, good, thank you. And something I wanted to mention as well is that there's been a report this morning and happened over the weekend, apparently, very horrific, involving a dog. And I don't even know if this is right, but apparently, according to Sarah Henderson's campaign, someone shot a pet pug at a house with a sign up for Sarah Henderson and left the dead dog underneath that sign. Now, it says in the newspaper that that hasn't been reported to police officially, so that makes me doubt whether it is, in fact, legit. We have to be cynical about these sort of things, but... Whew, that's horrific.
It's extremely nasty. And
particularly when innocent animals get caught up in that line of fire. There's obviously some anger towards Sarah from parts of the community. Mm. But the fact that an animal would get caught up in that and the fact that people would resort to violence is of grave concern.
Absolutely. And that is absolutely deplorable. And no matter what side of the political spectrum you come from, there's no excuse for anything like that. And like you, I wait to hear for this to be confirmed. Mm. But if so, yeah, that is absolutely deplorable.
One of the things I've learned is to be very cynical about things that you read firsthand. But it was on the Herald Sun, it was on the 3AW News Bulletin and the ABC, so that's three sources that have reported it. But it does say that no official complaint has been made to police yet. So that just makes me a little bit sceptical. But if that has happened, it was down in Apollo Bay. What is going on with our democracy?
Oh, it makes you weep, doesn't it?
It does. Now, you've just gone on an overseas animal justice world tour, pretty much, because the reason I mention that is because obviously you've become elected here in the Victorian Parliament, but I'd imagine animal rights groups overseas would very much like to learn how you did that and how they can also get a representative voice in their parliaments. Was that sort of the purpose of you going over to speak?
Well, it was partly that. I mean, we had a family holiday booked for a long time, and I just took the opportunity to combine business with pleasure, if you like. So we went to Germany, we spoke with people from the Animal Party there, and I should stress that in the European Parliament there are 17 elected members from various animal parties across the broad spectrum of the European countries. So what we're doing here is nothing new in that respect, but it's wonderful to actually get the opportunity to contact and sit down and speak with these people firsthand to find out about how they go about politics, how they get things done in the agendas that they're pushing, and then how we do the same, and see how they marry up, and to learn from each other. It's a fantastic experience.
And the European Parliament's quite big, isn't it? How many members? It's over 600.
I'm not sure. I think so, yeah.
Possibly even towards 1,000.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And we're, you know, as I understand it, there's a lot of arguing going on, and they tend to then resolve those arguments, whereas, you know, in Victorian or Australian politics, we tend to try and keep things on a reasonably, you know, friendly level, and we try to get things done through the art of negotiation. And seeing where we can find common ground. It's a completely different political system.
Where are they at over there with some of the issues that you're talking about here? So whether it's, you know, battery hens or duck shooting, are they on similar battles, or have they already had those battles? How does the animal rights movement here compare to over in Europe?
It's very much swings and roundabouts. There are some different issues there. In Spain, for instance, you have the issue of bullfighting, which is still prevalent in some areas, but in places like Barcelona, it's actually been gotten rid of. Mm. Some of the strongholds that they're actually going, and we anticipate that that will actually go in the short term. It won't be too far away. Some places in Europe still have battery hens. Some of them have gotten rid of them. It's very much a country-by-country basis, and there are great strides forward. Some of the Scandinavian countries, for instance, which traditionally have had factory farms for fur, are now beginning to get rid of them. They're beginning to phase them out, if not get rid of them altogether.
Now, this leads into a few things that have happened here in Victoria since we last spoke. There was that was a demonstration, essentially, just outside Flinders Street Station, brought the CBD into a standstill. Mm. Now, that was, I think, condemned by the agriculture minister at the time. Mm-hmm. Do you endorse what those protesters or demonstrators were doing?
Well, look, the wonderful thing about Victoria, and I think it's unique to the rest of Australia, is that we have a very, very thriving democracy. And part of that democracy is the right to protest. Now, Yes, they brought the CBD to a standstill. It was a very short period of time and a very few number of people by comparison. We don't have these arguments when we're talking about, for instance, a large union protest, which takes up a large, much larger section of the CBD, and I endorse those. We don't talk about this when we had the farmers doing their one, right? Well, they did exactly the same thing. Now, I endorse every single one of those protests because I believe that it's the right of Victorians in particular, but the right of all Australians to voice their opinion to do these things because it is part of a thriving democracy that we have the right to put ourselves out there and to protest if we don't agree with something.
And what do you say to the people that were trying to get to work but were delayed? Just tough.
Well, you know, I dare say if you were to speak to them, if you wanted to ask them if there was something that they were very concerned about themselves, would they take part in a protest of the same? Well, most of them would agree. It's a very small inconvenience on one day on an issue that is quite clearly very emotive and very prevalent in Victoria.
Do you think these sort of protests work at changing people's minds? Because, yes, we're talking about it, which means it's been successful in garnering publicity and they wanted people to go and watch that film Dominion.
Mm.
But I did hear anecdotally that people went out, for example, and bought meat pies at lunchtime in the CBD in one of the buildings that someone I know worked at. That's what they all did, even if they didn't want to eat it, just in solidarity against that protest.
These things are always polarising. No matter what issue you choose in the community, you'll either have people for or people against, and then there'll be people on the fence.
This raises a philosophical question about where is the line? Is it okay to go into steakhouses and chant and, you know, disrupt what's going on there? Is it okay to go onto private property? Is it okay to put up the Aussie farms, you know, all those sort of questions. I mean, for you personally, where do you draw the line?
Okay, well, just very quickly, the Aussie farms website, let's just touch on that one. That's actually lifted directly off Google Maps. Okay, so they haven't produced anything. And at the bottom of that, it actually says on a banner line, please do not, or it's words to the effect of, we do not ever encourage trespass or any illegal activity. All right, so it's a beat up in that respect. All they've done is they've published on their own website and more broadly something that's available as it stands on Google Maps. Now, the second thing is, as you know, I'm in the Parliament to pursue these things from a legal standpoint. So I'll never encourage anything that breaks the law. However, there are times, and we've heard Jed Kearney say this as well, that, you know, if laws are bad, then they need to be at least highlighted that they're bad and that, you know, and sometimes they will be broken in the process. I don't agree with that necessarily, but I see the need for it sometimes. So further on that there are very, very good and strong trespass laws in Victoria as they stand at the moment. Now, this whole thing that the National Party wants to put up, and it's backed by their coalition friends, is it seeks to take one section of the community and isolate them from the law as it stands that protects the rest of everyone else and that prosecutes everybody else. That's not constitutional, in my opinion. Now, that may be proven to be wrong. However, I don't believe you should be taking one section of the community. And in this instance, there are no incidences of violent behaviour on behalf of any of these protesters. Yes, they've committed a trespass, and they know that when they do that. So if you're going to charge them and put them before the courts, then do so. No problem with that, because they understand that they're committing an offence when they do that. But you cannot take those people, and they've committed no violence, they don't go into people's homes, they go into these factory farms, etc., to highlight the conditions that these animals live in on a day-to-day basis. So you cannot take them and apply a law separately to them, as opposed to someone who might break into a factory out in the North Shore of Geelong, for instance, and not get to do a break and enter, as it were, and steal anything. Right? If they were to sit down in a protest on, you know, the use of machinery, for instance, you know, they would still just be charged with trespass, and the law would apply equally, and it should apply equally to these people.
Your sparring partner, Beverly MacArthur, raised the issue of someone getting fined only $1 on this program. I've read about that. Do you think that's right? I mean, I don't know why they only got fined $1, but is that a tough enough penalty?
Mitchell, the vagaries of the legal system have always been a mystery to me. I don't understand that. The law itself and the penalties apply are there. They allow for a far greater fine than that, and I think this is more a reflection of the magistrate, you know, perhaps misreading the situation rather than that law itself. I mean, that's up to the magistrate. You know, I don't understand it. I fully expected a far greater fine than that, but I can't comment on that. I don't know what to say on that one.
And one more question on this particular issue before we move on and have a look at something else, and that is that the language is getting quite intense. I was reading in the newspaper, I think someone either representing farmers or who was a farmer said it's only a matter of time before someone gets hurt.
Well,
so it's pretty serious.
Well, it is extremely serious, and I note that most of this language is coming not even necessarily from the farming sector, but it's coming from people who supposedly purport to support the farming sector. Now, I raised in Parliament this very issue the other day in reply to the request for an inquiry that was put forward by Melina Barth into this particular thing, and I raised exactly what was being spoken about about there was a men's page with over 50,000 members on it, and the title of that was they were attacking a particular female protester, right? And some of the language across the board to these female protesters is absolutely horrendous and needs to be looked at by the Minister for Women and also needs to be looked at by the Attorney General. But this Facebook page was titled First to Rape the Bitch Wins. Now, this is absolutely horrendous, and this language is coming from the people that purport to support the farmers. Okay, now, so this is what needs to be cracked down on. When we're talking in terms of privacy, if we're talking in terms of protection, that's a far greater worry for me, because these people are actively going out and encouraging people to commit acts of violence against women.
Okay, in terms of the state budget moving along, the whole sitting dates, from what I understand, has been redrawn because they've pushed the budget back. Mm. The government says that's because we don't know who's going to form government federally, and that will impact our finances in Victoria based on the promises committed to this state. Mm. The opposition says that's because there's some budget nasties coming because apparently things aren't going quite as well as we'd hoped. Who do you believe more?
Well, it's the job of the opposition to put up an opposition. It's very difficult to say. I'm not on the inside. I'm not in caucus there, so I don't know what the discussions are. You just have to take the government at face value on that. I appreciate the opposition's position there, that this is their job. It wouldn't matter if the Andrews Labor government came out and looked at the sky this morning and said, well, there's clouds in the sky. The opposition would turn around and say, no, it's not. It's sunny and blue. This is their job. They'll oppose anything that the government puts up, and vice versa.
Now, I've been asking pretty much every member of Parliament that's come in here, what's on your budget wish list? What sorts of things do you want to see funded when that budget is handed down?
Oh, I'd like to see greater help for the agricultural sector to move into plant-based farming, and an assistance package in that respect to help those who are suffering in the dairy industry and other parts of animal agriculture because of climate change, to move away, move into that 20% area, move away from that reliance on animal agriculture, to assist them to move into plant-based agriculture. And in that respect, I have made approaches to several overseas companies that actually produce faux meats, or fake meats, if you like, to come to Australia to set up manufacturing in the southwest of Victoria, in the electorate. And I've had some great responses from them, and I look forward to working with the government and seeing what we can make in the budget for that.
As a vegan, do you consume those faux meat products?
Oh, every now and again, yes.
They're good?
Oh, some of them are outstanding. Look, it's the same with every product. Some of them are better than others, but that comes down to personal taste, what you like and what you don't.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about the north of Geelong. Mm. It's been problematic that we haven't been able to get the Liberal candidate for Corio to come onto this program, when every other candidate is going to be on at least twice before the election on that ballot paper. Mm. And then you've got the story today about Anthony Aitken wants to redraw council because he says Windermere Ward doesn't get enough because there's only two votes at the table, even though per head of population, Windermere has the best representation out of any of them. Mm. So it's a recurring theme across all three levels of government, and the Northern Arc is kind of, again, central to that, and Richard Marles won't actually commit to funding it. He just says he's advocating strongly for it.
Mm. That's... I agree with Anthony in terms of I completely agree that the North misses out every time. Every time there's a state or a federal budget, no matter what the colour of government, that the north of Geelong misses out dramatically. And the Northern Arc is not just a necessary thing, it's an essential part of what needs to happen for the transformation of the north and for the people of the north. They need these services, they need this investment, they need these jobs. And I agree with Anthony in that is the case, and I also will be helping. I'll be talking for meetings. I'm hoping to get a meeting with the Treasurer very soon to start talking about what we need to do and what help we can get in the state budget for that. But I also agree that Richard needs to be stronger. He needs to be able to put something on the table for the Northern Arc. We need that federal government commitment. It's quite disappointing to hear that the Liberal candidate is not coming on. Mm. I think that would be a good idea to press for that. But in terms of, do we realign the boundaries? Well, that's an issue for the VEC.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I don't know how you can redraw it to do it in a fair way that means other wards don't then miss out. It's a bit of a tough thing.
Mm.
Something worth discussing further, I think.
Oh, look, I think boundary change, when you have a surging or declining population, is a necessary thing, discussion that you should have. But if the population is reasonably stable in terms of numbers, then, well, I'm not sure that there's an argument for that. And as you say, they are well represented by, per capita, unless there was, an issue where you realign the boundary to take in some of the more southern areas, then and then you would have an increase in population. Then you would be able to successfully mount that argument.
Mm. And just last of all, the federal campaign for the Animal Justice Party. I don't know. I assume you're all over that. But you've got Ben Schultz trying to get a Senate spot. It's obviously a lot harder to get a Senate spot than it is to get a spot in the Legislative Council because, one, they've got rid of group ticket voting, as you would know, so it completely changes preference deals. Mm. And I suppose number two being you just have to have more votes to get there.
You do. You need a far greater primary vote. There's no doubt about that. Getting rid of the group voting ticket, I'm uncertain as to how successful that actually has been because most people, when they attend a polling booth, be it pre-poll or on the day, they just want to get in and get the job done. So a lot of the time, I think they'll look at what is now, when you hand out a flyer, that's a suggestion of how that party would like you to vote. I think most people, and this is only my opinion, I think most people would still follow that so they get it done quickly. But I do encourage people. I think this whole move of being able to let people choose their own preferences above the line there, I think this is a wonderful thing. I think that people should pay close attention to that, pay close attention to what the candidates and the parties are actually saying and whether they believe that they'll deliver on those promises or not, whether they're just empty promises. Because you well know, where I live in Corangamite, we've had the entire GDPs of China, the United States and Great Britain and the European Union delivered down there in the last 6 months, I highly doubt this is going to happen, I'd like to see more concrete, more honest promises and the ways and means of how they're going to deliver those shown.
And that's why we have the forums. It's slowly growing, but I ran into someone in a local cafe on the weekend who was listening and didn't know who to vote for, now does, and says he also understands where to put the candidates on, because you've got to rank every candidate. So he was listening to, for example, Naomi Adams speaking, and now he knows who he wants to vote for and what order, and that's why it's so important to hear from everyone.
It is, and I applaud yourself and the Pulse for putting on those forums. I think that they've become such an integral part of the democratic system in Victoria.
Well, Andy, thank you very much for coming in. It's been great to catch up as always, and let's do so again next month, which I think will be the sort of wash-up of the state budget.
That'll be great. I look forward to it.
Good on you. Thank you very much, Andy Medic there, member of the Legislative Council for the Animal Justice Party.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.